Today I want to talk about Tachmon. In this week's parasha, in fact, probably this week, we'll talk about a lot, spend some time learning about Tachmon. In this week's parasha, we learn that Korach, after he rebelled against Moshe, Vayipol al Moshe's response. What was Moshe's response to rebellion? Vayipol al panav. Whenever there's trouble, Tachmon. Tachmon is the response to rebellion. Korach, there's 250 people who want to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu does Tachmon. We're trying to get out of Tachmon. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who, in fact, invented Tachmon. Okay, so let's discuss some of the Rosh Hashanah. I'm telling you now, it comes from this outstanding set of Sarm called Higyoinei HaParsha. We've used this before a number of times by Harav Aryeh David Wasserman. Okay, this person, I don't know who he is, I don't know anything about him, but he's obviously from Haskabas, from Ponovich, from Rav Karelitz, he has Rav Shmuel Stern, he has big Haskabas, and you see him very Chosher Talmidei Chachamim, Rav Hillel, okay, Rav Mokil Kaler, he has from also, he must have been in Lakewood at some point in time, I don't know, he's American, Israeli Haskabas, obviously he's a very, very big Talmidei Chachamim, he has a Koyach. Yeah, he writes. He has a koyach of ksiva. Not too many people today have this koyach where they can write with clarity. And he has he's made makif this topic of tachlan all lechol perotera v'diktukecha v'chavnosecha. Okay, I get a little dizzy going through all the information that he presents. So let's just try to run through some of the Rosh Hashanah. What is number one? What is the purpose? What is the mindset during tachlan? When we fall on our arm and we recite the Mizmar in Tehillim, the Mizmar that we recite is Rachum v'Chanon, which is Mizmar, I've got the number, Perek Hey, Mizmar Hey. What is the proper mindset that we should think when we fall on our arms? So he brings very simply, he brings from Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye, this is a very popular Rishon. A lot of the things he says are very straightforward. And he gives three different kavanos a person should think about when he falls tach. Number one, Moira Shechina. A person should try to feel the Shechina is present. You just finished davening Shemoyne Esrei. You are in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the Ribbono Shel Olam, I mean the Ribbono Shel Olam is here, Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere, but make believe a melech, a king was here, a king who your life depended on, a person who at a moment's notice can take away your life. Would you feel afraid? Would you feel a sense of fear? Certainly. Al achas kam v'kam, a person should feel that fear in front of HaKadosh Baruch. Now we don't walk around the whole day with that sense of fear, we couldn't exist, but at least a few moments during the day we should put ourselves in the matzav of mimakir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has the koyach of life and death, and any moment he can take away our life if he so wishes, and we should feel the moira hashchina, and we should fall on our face. So the first thing we should do is fear. Moira hashchina. The second thing, the second approach is tzboishas, shame. It's a whole different type of emotion. Not that I'm afraid. I'm not afraid you're going to kill me. I'm just embarrassed. I'm embarrassed before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so good to me, you're so kind to me, I have not done my part, I have not reciprocated your goodness, and I'm ashamed before you. Boishas, an expression of embarrassment. And the third is basically surrender. You know, Rabbi Sassoon, the father of the one who lost Rachman Lassan's children in the fire, I mean, probably the most famous word that has come forth from his incredible inspiration is the word surrender. If you read the articles, the word about his children, the person has to surrender before the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Mamash Rabbeinu Bechaye says. Rabbeinu Bechaye says when a person does false tachnon, you are surrendering before the Ribbono Shel Olam. I surrender. It's all up to you. It's an amazing insight.
I just want to understand the last one I find very different, not the first one. Surrender also is like you're giving up your bechira also.
Not giving up a chira. Why is that so? You recognize that there's only that much I can do, and and it's your world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am here to follow. What a surrender. I'll do whatever you want.
You better do your part.
I'll do whatever I want, and
you are the spell.
I'm not a balabas. I'm not in charge.
And that in the spell anyway. The chayfas yitzreinu lishtabedbuch. Take away our bechira. Let us just be.
Do what you want us to do. I'm not the balabas in this world. I surrender. Whatever it is your will, whatever will happen, will happen. I will do what you ask of me. I'm not going to make demands of you. Pshuto kimashmo. Surrender means surrender. Surrender, have to look in the dictionary. Look in the dictionary online. What is the precise translation of the word surrender? Maybe it will help us develop a closer relation with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we have a better.
I have a problem, you know,
yeah.
On today, Monday and Thursday, the whole new rach.
We're not up to that yet. That's tomorrow. That's the Thursday. What?
Yeah. I have difficulty with this question because a lot of it just. It's like a put down of you. Well, I'm a sinner, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. I've got to be honest, I read it, I say, you know what? I mean, sometimes you feel like you're really.
Wow, I wish I felt like you. You're the real deal.
But you read it, you read the lotion, and I read it, and I'm a sinner, so I did this.
So, what's the problem?
It's very hard to accept because if what it goes against, yeah. It's not a sign of your self-worth.
Well, this is both. Elu v'elu. You have to have a balance. There has to be a proper balance.
You know, the greatest person who ever lived, greatest person who would ever live, but a comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to what a human being can attain, he felt that he knew he was nothing. But he knew nobody else would attain his greatness. He knew that. Because if you didn't, he'd be a fool.
Sure, nobody was telling you that all the time.
You know, that's what they say. When you walk into a room, they play Hail to the Chief every time you walk in, you begin to ask what he's saying.
Okay, so this is Ben Bechai. Ben Bechai, let's review. It's powerful stuff. People can go the whole life without thinking any of these three things. When you're falling tachlon, the Rabbeinu Bechai says three things. Three different, they're very, very different. Moira, the Moira Hashchina, you're in awe, or you're terrified. Different types of fear. Higher level of fear, low level of fear. Moira Hashchina. Number two, Boishes. You're hiding yourself. You're covering yourself in shame. I can't even stand before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, surrender. I surrender before the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Rabbeinu Bechai's outlook on the Tefillas HaPaim. Number two. Now we go to another idea. Very different idea. Different idea of the Peleoites. Peleoites really touches upon the essence of how the Svardim look at on the Tefillas HaPaim. It basically means I'm willing to give up my life for you. Now we really think this idea when we say Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'yahavta Eis Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. Afilu Hu Noitel Es Nafshecha. Even if you have to give up your life for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we say Kriya Shema, we say it, we think it. When we fall Tachnun, we actually go a step further. We actually act it out. You're giving up. You basically, when a person dies, he's on the ground. By falling on your hand, you're basically giving up yourself to death. I'm willing to sacrifice my neshama for you. Like the Akedah. I'll go tell you how far this goes. One of the reasons why we fall on the left hand, this is a very big discussion. Do you fall on the left hand? Do you fall on the right hand? We'll discuss in a few moments. And even when you fall on the left, when you're falling on your left hand, which way should you be facing? Should you turn your head inward? Or should you turn your head outward? Should you turn your head to the right, to the left? Should you even bend your entire body where you're facing the right, facing the left? This is all part of a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham. Everyone gets involved in this question. But some say everything should be based on the left because there is a tradition. There is a tradition that the Akedah, Gesundheit, the Akedah, Yitzchak was put down in preparation for the Akedah on his left side. In fact, a carbon, every single animal that was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash was pushed down this Mishnah Masechta Tamid on their left side. It's a Kabbalistic thing, but it's a Mishnah, it's a Gemara. Animals at the time of Shechita Korbanos, now we do in the slaughterhouse. Slaughterhouses, they have very, very elaborate techniques. All, there are different techniques. There's a lot of give and take. What's the better technique? up and down, different types of ways of doing things. They keep on changing every so often. There's new technology, whatever it is. But when it comes to a carbon, less man the poly, the carbon, the animal is pushed down on the ground on the left side. When we daven, we fall before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving up our lives like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if we are carbonos. And therefore we fall on the left side. So since just as we fall on the left side, it's also we're giving ourselves over lemis. Now we'll come, we'll discuss this in a few moments. Okay, let's go to the next thing. It is our custom to say, this, I'm telling you now, says in the Seder Hayoim, he says something very, very shocking. In the Seder Hayoim, if a person says the Mizmar of Keler Chapayim, of Tachnun with Kavana, you are guaranteed to be spared from Dina Shel Gehenna. Okay, so that's really, every time they don't say Tachnun in Shul, you should say, why not? I'm not looking for the alternative. I'd rather say Tachnun with Kavana and be spared from the Dina Shel Gehenna. In the Mizmah that we say, we were selected, Tzarli Monil, Rachel Nechancha Tosid Lefonecha, there are, every single letter of the Aleph Beis appears in this Mizmah except for three letters. Beis, Vav, and Kuf. Why Beis, Vav, and Kuf? Because the gematria Beis, Vav, and Kuf is 108, which is the same gematria of Gehenim. Gehenim is the gematria Gehinom, is the gematria 108. Therefore, these three letters are missing. These three letters, book is missing. Beis, Vav, Kuf. Oh, so it's also the pasuk in Nachum. Enachem boka umevuka umevulaka. Okay, it's a code word. This word buka is a code word for Gehenin. These three letters are the only letters of the Aleph that are missing in this mizmar to indicate that if you say this, you say with kavana, just like Gehenin, these letters which represent Gehenin are missing in this mizmar. A person's neshama will be spared from Gehenin. Okay, let's go to the next idea. The Bach says, now the reason why we fall the Tachman, it's a very beautiful idea from the Bach, is because falling Tachman completes all the forms of Tzila we find in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate Baal Tzila. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught Tzila by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are three psukim in the Torah that describe the way he died. Number one, Moshe in Dvarim Perek Tes Pasuk Tes says, Vo'eshev Bohar Arboim Yom Ve'arboim Loila. I sat in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Number two, Perigud Pasigud, Vo'esnapal Lifnei Hashem, I fell before Hashem. And the third pasuk is V'anochi Omadeti Bohar, I stood on the mountain. Three psukim that are said in reference to Moshe being mispal for Klal Yisrael after the Chedo Egel. Moshe was mispal for Klal Yisrael, and the way his tefillah is described in different parts of Chumash Devarim is either for ve'esnapal, ve'eshev, ve'omadeti. So when we daven, every day we daven, Shemona Esrei, the Shemona Esrei is done be'amida. We sit for a good part of daven, for Kriya Shema. We're supposed to sit. You're supposed to sit. You're supposed to sit when you say Kriya Shema. We sit when we say Kriya Shema. So we have standing and we have sitting. Where then do we have a fulfillment of the Esna Pal Lifnei Hashem? Tachlon. Tachlon is the Hashlomo of the Esna Pal Lifnei Hashem. Okay, and furthermore, for that reason, not only that, even we actually do all three together. We do all three together in Tachlon itself. When we recite the Mizmar, when the Mizmar is said b'derech nefila, we put our hands down on our arms. Then when we say Shomer Yisrael, what?
We do it
sitting. We'll discuss. You have to, sitting is not necessarily required. The Shulchan Aruch talks about, we'll come down in a few moments, but at least with the tzu that we have is, we are v'estaba, we say the Mizmar. We say the Mizmar, Rachel lechanan chatosi lefanech Hashem mole rachelim Rachel lekabel tachlanoi Mizmar hey. When we cite the Mizmar, we are begeder nefila. We are in a state of esnapal lefne Hashem. Then when we say Shemer Yisrael, Shema Sheiris Yisrael, Vialdi Vali Yisrael, Yom Shema Yisrael, and the second and third, we say it sitting. And then we come to Va'anachnu lo neda mana aseh. when we come to the word Zman Naseh, the Shlah says he's supposed to stand up. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Shlah. He's supposed to stand up. And that, why do we stand up? Lo Neida Man Naseh. We say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, every possible type of tzila, we've pulled out all the bags out of all the tricks out of the bag. There's nothing more for us to do. We daven. We daven b'derech nefila. We sat. And now we stand. V'anachnu lo neda ma naseh. Now we stand. So even in Tachnun itself, we have all three. Nefila, yeshiva, and amida. The big picture of things in davening, the Shemona Esrei is the amida. The Birchos Kriyashma must be done by yeshiva. And now Tachnun is done by nefila. So we have all three. And there's a microcosm. What? That's a different. The Rachum is a whole different topic. That's Tachanunim. That's not part of Tachanun. That's Tachanunim. That's supposed to be said the Amida, right? That's if someone doesn't stand, Yishchenu Nochash. Shchenu Nochash is very scary. You'll be bitten by a snake if he doesn't stand for Vehu Rachum. That's a separate inyan. That's a separate inyan. But Tachanun, it's not really part of Tachanun. Tachanun is Nefila Sapayim. It's something that is separate, and it concludes its pattern after the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hashlal of all the various forms of tila, and we do all three in davening and the big picture, and there's a macrocosm, we do all three in the Tachnun itself. Okay, now let's go to the next idea. Why, now if we're going to do it derech nefila, the proper way to do Tachnun is to lie down on the floor. To lie down, spread out your hands on the floor, pishut yadayim raglayim, with your stomach on the ground, your legs extended. That lechayr would be the proper way to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "West napal lefnei Hashem." The simple understanding is Moshe Rabbeinu was lying flat; he was horizontal, completely horizontal on the floor, with his hands out, his stomach on the ground, his face on the ground. That lechayr is the proper way to do the tachna. I've never seen anyone do tachna in that fashion.
Rob showed that though.
What? Yashaber, he actually did that.
This is the way you do it.
Like and he that. Got that on the floor with the legs and
his
pisha yadayim. That's the real way to do tachlin. Yeah. So here's the big mystery: why then don't we do tachlin the real way? Today we're always looking for chumras.
No,
we're looking for chumras. So why can't we an excuse to build bigger shuls?
A lot of people never get up.
So why not do it in this fashion?
Because you can't do it on the
So the answer is, it all comes from Abaye Verava, the famous Abaye Verava. Probably this is a minog that we do today that directly is rooted in Abaye and Rava. The Gemara says Abaye and Rava. Matzle Atzluye. They fell on their sides. Let me quote you the Gemara. The Gemara says, HaGemara Sham, where is the Gemara Sham? Where is the Sham? I have to go look up
the previous piece.
I don't know what the previous piece is. It goes on for pages and pages. Okay, but the Omar Abichia Bar Oven. I witnessed. Can you imagine when he saw this sight? This became the minute for Gans Klal Yisrael. This event. Very few things have happened in history which have such ramifications for the whole Klal Yisrael, for all Doros. This famous person, Chia Bar Oven, I once happened to have the fortune to witness. They fell on their side. So the Gemara discusses this topic of the Nefilas Apayim. We mentioned Abaye and Rava. Now, what Rashi there explains, what does it mean? Shahayu matin al tzideihem. They fell on their sides. V'loy noiflim al pnei mamish. They did not lie flat on the ground. Instead, they fell on their sides. Now, why? Why did they do that?
Lie down on the side.
So here enters into the Rishonim. All the Rishonim get involved. They get involved in this discussion. Let me just find with the Gemara. We'll show you the Gemara. If you want to look up the Gemara. Alright, I'll have to find the Gemara later. So the Rishonim get involved in this. There basically comes down to two reasons why they did not follow the rule, lie down flat on the ground. Number one, the only person that's allowed to fall down on the floor is if you are absolutely certain, you're absolutely certain that you'll be in. Odom Choshev is not allowed to do Pitch of Yadayim Raglayim unless he is certain that his tefillah will be answered like Yehoshua Ben Nun. Yoshua ben Nun, he fell on a seis. He was mispalel the Melchemes HaMolek. He was mispalel during Givonim. You're only allowed to fall on your face if you're absolutely certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer your tefillos. If you're not absolutely certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer your tefillos, you're not allowed to fall on your face because it's going to be a Chil Hashem. People are going to observe you falling on your face, being mispalel, and nothing happens. Ein kol v'ein oineh, and it will be a Chil Hashem. Abaye of a Rava will looked up to in the community as chashuvim. People have great expectations. If they're going to fall on their face and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that's not going to happen, then it's going to be Chil Hashem. So therefore, they chose not to take the risk. In fact, they're not allowed to take the risk. Being that Bizman Hazen, no one is on a madrega where they can expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer their tefillos, certainly not instantaneously. Therefore, no one Bizman Hazen is allowed to act and fall fully on their face. That is the number one reason why we do not fall on our face, not to violate this halacha, because we can't think, we shouldn't be such balei gaiva and think we're going to do it, Hashem is going to, there's an expectation that when you fall on your face, you're going to be answered. We know that's not going to happen. The second very important reason is because there's a prohibition to fall on stone. Evan is an Isser deraisa, Evan maskis. To bow down upon stone is an Isser deraisa, because this was the minig of the Goyim. Either it's a form of Avodah Zarah, you're actually bowing down to the stone itself, or this is the way the Goyim bow down, so therefore we do not do this. To bow down with Pishut, Yodayim v'raglayim on a stone floor is an Isser deraisa. So some say that Abayin Rebbe, when they were davening, in the shul they were davening, there was a stone floor. And even though maybe the other people in the shul did not have a stone, but where they stood there was a stone floor, therefore it would have been for them an Isser deraisa. So therefore they turned to the side. So that now Bizman Hazel, it would not be an issue, because over here the floor is not stone, the store floor over here is vinyl. Okay, many shuls there are carpet floors, there are wood floors. What?
That's why I don't give it.
So there might be underneath someone in the machner that underneath. So some want to say no, but if underneath the vinyl there is stone, that's also an isser or isser the rabbanan. So because of all these complications and the chumras, layers of stringency, that even though it's not stone, but tomorrow it might be stone, it might be stone in another place, it became the custom not to take the risk. Not take the risk and to never bow down upon a floor on a normal, regular basis. We do make an exception on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you do put down a cloth that you should be careful that it should not be stone. That's the exception. But on a daily basis,
it's not for your knees.
It's not good for your knees. So there would have to be.
Not, you don't put it under your knees. You're supposed to put it under your face.
Under your face. Under your face. No, your face should not come in contact with the floor. So therefore, not to take any risks on a regular basis, we do not do this. So that's where it came to custom. So for you, the reason why Bizman Hazeh, we do not fall flat on the ground, comes from Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava, Matzleit Saluye, they turned on their sides, and there are two reasons, because you're not allowed to fall fully on your face unless you're certain that you'll be in like Yeshua Ben Nun, or because of a gzera of Evan Maskis. What?
We don't even go partially.
So now, next question. Why do we sit down? Your question is why? We're not going to go on the ground. That's a no-no. That's what we said. Because going on the ground, you're getting involved in these two issues.
In any form.
Because falling on the ground is a problem of gaiva.
I mean, you see how the Muslims, they fall, they don't go flat on the ground, they go down on their knees.
That's called falling down yeah. on your face. That would, yes.
Yeah, because yes. when you bow down all the way, your face touches the ground.
When the face touches the ground, even if your face does not touch the ground, manish, putting your face right opposite the ground, bending your head down, that is close enough. Okay, so now, we don't do it putting our face on the ground. So we're just going to go do it symbolically. If we're going to do it symbolically, why bother sitting? Why not already stand and just... Anyway, what we're doing is only a symbolic type of falling on the floor. We really just put our head on the floor. We're not going to do that for the two reasons. So we're going to do something symbolic. We're going to put our heads down on the table, on our arm. Why on the arm? Put your hand down. Here, put your hand down on the table. Technically speaking, you should just put your hand down on the table. You're using symbolic. Or why sit down? So indeed, you should know that a lot of Rishonim learn it's not necessary to sit. You can technically do the Tachlin while you are standing. And indeed, this halacha l'maisa, that indeed, if you're in a situation where you can't get to a chair, there are no chairs. Sometimes you have a minyan, it's a very busy shul. If there's no sefer Torah anyway, you should not fall down. But let's say you're in a place where there's a sefer Torah, and there are not enough chairs to go around. It's crowded. So let's say even if there are chairs, but in order to get to a chair, you're going to have to go and shove someone, push someone. Or you're going to have to walk in front of a person who's davening Shemon Esrei, disturb someone who's davening Shemon Esrei. So then you can fall back on the opinion of many achrayim that say it's not necessary. Anyway, we're not doing the real thing, it's just symbolic. You can just stand up and put your hand on your arm like that, or put your hand against the wall, and that is more than sufficient. And some even hold that shas, the shliach tzibur, ideally that's what he should do. We'll come down in a few moments. That's what the shliach tzibur should do. However, in Shulchan Aruch it says not. The Mishnah Berurah says that today the custom is that you should be davka, do everything you possibly can to sit down. Because why, it's not really clear. It's more, it gives it more chashivas. When you're sitting down, it's closer to the real thing. When you're falling, nafal al apayim, when you're falling down, you're completely down on the ground. We're not going to go all the way down because of the two reasons. But at least don't stand. Standing is the complete opposite. So at least have a pshara. Pshara is, you should have akpad at least to sit down. To sit down is somewhere in the middle. And now, pi kabbalah, it's more ideal, in fact, to indeed to sit. Okay, so now what about the shliach tzibur? So here's the very big question. Shliach tzibur does everything standing. Okay, there's in Shulchan Aruch and there's a hakpada when you say Birchos Kriya Shema, after you say Baruch Hu, until you get the Shemona Esrei, you must sit. You must do everything in your possibility. You're not allowed to. People, there's some don't know the halacha, they walk around. During Birchos Kriya Shema, they're running around, they're pacing back and forth. That is Shalai Kedin. You're not allowed to be standing during Birchos Kriya Shema, unless you have some medical reason why you can't sit down. But you're supposed to sit down. So you listen, that's the halacha, you must be sitting down, so why doesn't the Shliach Tzibur sit down for Birchos Kriya Shema? The answer is, the Shliach Tzibur is an exception. Why is he an exception? Because not only because of Kavanat Tzibur, technically speaking, the Shliach Tzibur is Moitzi the Rabbi Midei Chayvasa. We don't do this today, but technically speaking, the Sfardim do this. When I went to my cousin in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, there indeed, the Shliach Tzibur, he reads every single word of the Birchos Kriya Shema. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokim Melechlem Yotze, Orev Orechoshech, Oseh, Shalom Avarez, Akol, Hamir Loretz, every single word. Now, people there in the audience are saying it themselves, but technically, the reason why the Shliach Tzibur is saying every single word is because that's the way it was done during the time of Chazal. People taka did not say it themselves, and they listened to the Shliach Tzibur. And they're Yoitza Mila B'Mila. So there is a rule. Whenever one person is being Moitze someone else Berabim, then the person stands. It's a din of being Moitze, I guess it's to show. When one person is being Moitze other people, Yidei Chayvaso, that person stands when he says those words. Even though Bezman as the Shliach Tzibur does not do it, but since originally the Shliach Tzibur was Motzi every single person in the Beis HaKnesi Lechavoso, the Shliach Tzibur stands even for Kriyashma. The Shliach Tzibur says every word of Kriyashma, and the people listen to the Kriyashma. Therefore, Tachnun was never instanced, an incredible Chiddush. Tachnun is an incredible Yisod, even by the Sfardim. It was never instituted by Chazal for the Shliach Tzibur to be Motzei the Rabbi. Tachlin was always instituted as something that is said personally. Meridika Yisoid. Kedai to learn this whole sefer, this Yisod. Tachlin is not something where the Shliach Tzibur can be moitzi you. You gotta do it yourself. Every single word of the davening, the Shliach Tzibur can be moitzi Yechoiva. The Shemona Esrei, the Kriya Shema, all the brachos, everything. From beginning to end, you just sit in shul and listen. And you yoitze. Not tachlin. You have to go down, fall on your arm, and show that you're falling tachlin. Mineila, the Shliach Tzibur, he's on vacation. He also has an obligation also to sit down and to fall tachlin. If the Shliach Tzibur would be moitzi other people, then he would be standing, but he's not being moitzi.
He doesn't say tachlin, he just stands there, it's fine.
If he doesn't say tachlin, well, why would he want to say tachlin?
If he doesn't say
tachlin, you're right. There's a din of loisis goydidu. There's a very big topic of loisis goydidu. If you're in a place,
no, he's standing there under the stalas and he doesn't say that. No, he hasn't done that.
All right, whatever. Okay, we're not going. We're not going. Okay, let's not go there. I don't know. I don't know the answer. The shliach, no, the shliach tzibur does not say tachnun loud. No such thing. Tachnun is a personal prayer, and that's exactly why the shliach tzibur lechatchila is supposed to sit down and say like everyone else, even though he's the shliach tzibur. However, big however, yesh cholken, there are those who disagree and hold that the shliach tzibur, you notice he never takes the 3 steps back. He's finished the whole Shemoneh Esrei, right? Han varech esamo Yisrael b'shaloyim. What about your 3 steps back? This is the Tzurah Tzvila. You're supposed to take 3 steps back. He'll take the 3 steps back when he says Kaddish Tiskabel. When he says, that's what's problem when someone takes over. When someone takes over,
so he really should do it after Tiskabel.
So where did the guy get? Someone's taking over. If someone's taking over, then the Lechairo he should take 3 steps back. If someone's going to take over, but then the person who finished Shemoneh Esrei should take 3 steps back. But if no one's taking over and you're going to go all the way through Tiskabel, then that's when you take your 3 steps back. Therefore, you're not allowed to be mafsik. If you're going to walk away now, you're going to be oike raglof and go and sit down and say a nice tachlon and then walk around the shul and give you some staka and pushka and check the luach while everyone else is finishing up tachlon. You're not going to do that. The shat is not allowed to go for a stroll. You're not allowed to. Let's say the rav is saying a long tachlon. He's saying a long vuhurach Monday, Thursday. Laning is different because laning is part of the ikar tzila. Laning is a part of tzila, but tachlon is not really part of tzila. Tachlon it is and it's not. It's not part of the tzura of the shliach tzibur's job. It's a private interlude. It's a private break. It's part of tzila, but it's a shtickle break. It's nishtayin nishtayar. It's a very interesting idea, and therefore, it's a hefsek. You have to take your 3 steps out. You never saw a person davening Shemoneh Esrei and his cell phone goes off, and he takes a step out. He walks outside the shul to go. Oh, no, forget about answering. Oh, you're in the middle of davening? Oh, okay, I'll call you back later. Right? You never saw a person walk outside to do that. To go, or maybe to text, right? Someone calls you, so you text them back. I'm in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Right? You can text. You can't answer, but you can text. And there's a lot worse that's been done, don't worry. You don't see water. So the Shliach Tzibur is a Zel Bazach. He's in the middle of his Shemoneh Esrei. He never took his 3 steps back. Okay, and then let's say there's no tachlon. There's Asher Valitzia. You never saw a Shliach Tzibur keep his feet together for Asher Valitzia. I never saw that. But we don't do this for whatever reason. But technically speaking, maybe you should. Maybe you should keep your feet together. I don't know. You have to look, see what says Shulchan Aruch. Keep your feet together. Asher Valitzian. But to ad kedei kach, you're not going to keep your feet together. That's too hard. You can wiggle your feet. But ad kedei kach, to sit down and do a tachlon, that's already going too far.
That's why you don't say tachlon.
No, tachlon you have to say. Tachlon is part of tefillah. But sitting down is not built into tachnon. That's just the chumrah that we do bizman hazeh. Shatz doesn't have a right to do chumras at the expense of being mafsik between the end of the tefillah of Tiskabel. The nail of the shatz, according to some, this is not accepted. I'm telling you interesting things that we don't always do, but interesting to get understand where we're coming from. The shatz stands there by the omud and he puts his hand on his head. You see this sometimes.
Yeah.
You see this sometimes. Some hold that is ideal and that's what should be done. It's not the common practice. The common practice is it's not considered a hefsek. It's the. So that's a question. Is that out of laziness? Ask the guy why he's doing it. He doesn't know why he's doing it.
Right.
He saw someone do it, so he also does it. Or maybe just they're in a very big rush. Tircha did Sibura, small room, this, that. But some whole know it's ideal. That's the way it should be done because it is a hefsek to do otherwise. It's a reshus to sit down.
What if he takes his 3 steps by the Shemadash?
That's not where Chazal wanted you to take your 3 steps, ideally. They want you to take your 3 steps at Tiska, because Tiskagel is the Hashlam of the Shemone Esrei. Hashem, may you accept our prayer. That's where we want you to take your 3 steps. Okay, we deal in a very difficult world. You have to divide up the Amud. You have a lot of Chiyuvim. You don't want World War III to break out. You got to give someone else Tiskagel. Okay, so the other guy maybe has to take steps back. I don't know. But maybe the other guy is taking over, so it represents the tzibur. But it's a very interesting idea. Again, halacha lemaaseh, that's not the way we do things. That's not the way it's taught. Ideally, the shtei tzibur should sit. That's the way we, in all the shuls I've gone to, that's the way the minhag is. You sit down. Derech Eretz, if it's, you're not in a rush, the shliach tzibur, no one he sits down, he does tach, and he gets back. Yeah.
I had this problem today. I was davening, then I was standing by the army for the said the Yehira Tzayin.
Okay.
I already said Ashrei, I stayed by the army. And after Ashrei, they said, say the Skabel. So I didn't go to the Chazan's place. I said the Skabel by the Bima.
Why?
Because I was there already.
But that's not where you're supposed to be.
I understand. So that's what I'm saying. I was there already. The Tzibura, whatever you want to get. I was standing by the Bina. Instead of brushing over, standing at the other place, saying, the Skabel coming back. I already said the Skabel while I was there.
Okay, there's a mockum where the Shliach Tzibur stand. It's not a hefsek. Kriya Satara, that we discussed that. Don't ask me. Kriya Satara. You take the Sefer Torah out of them. You bring it to the Bima. Oh, you're being Oikarim and Makarimad. That's not a kasha. That's a chiluf. That's the tzur of tefillah. You're supposed to do that. But sitting down for tachlon, check out the sources. It doesn't say anywhere you're supposed to sit down for tachlon. We have a minhag to sit down. Because anyway, we're not doing the real thing. The real thing is to fall flat on the ground. We're not going to do that. We're going to be matzle at sluye. So it's just a matter of symbolic, to be symbolic. So you can stand also. We're machmer, we sit down. But a shatz doesn't have a permission to do chumras. A shatz has to be taken into consideration hefsek. So he brings down these two tzadim. Okay, there's a lot more. We'll continue leaning at it tomorrow.